Last week, we began to explore and focus on the beginning of Siman Reish Mem Tes and the beginning of Siman Reish Nun in particular. That opened the question of how much tzedakah should one be giving. So we saw Reish Mem Tes and Reish Nun at the beginning of both Simanim. You see several shiurim began to lay out the two perspectives that thread their way through much of Hilchas Tzedakah, Mitzad HaMakabel, Mitzad HaNosin. Like last time, Mitzad Agada and Sharashi HaMitzvah, it's certainly true. There are two perspectives, and even in terms of this Ki Halachik Shaila, how much you give. So one definition comes from the Gemara in Ksubas, it appears beginning Reish Mem Tes, and it's discussed at length in Reish Nun as De Machsoro, trying to take care of the Ani's need. And the other perspective, and the question of how much to give, is a Jew needs to look at what his income is and figure out, based on one's income, what is my total tzedakah budget? And then from there, I'm going to figure out further, how am I going to allocate that across different needs? And as we said, there are the two questions that really drive the opening, much of the opening siman of tzedakah, which is our limud right now. The first question is, how much is one giving? The second question is, once I know how much I've given in total, how do I allocate, how do I prioritize different tzedakah needs? So we're focused right now on that first question, figuring out how much to give. In terms of that, we saw the beginning of Reish, Mem, Tes, Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rambam, in part based on Gemaras and Bava Basra and Ksubas, but not totally. That's where things get interesting. Shulchan Aruch quotes three numbers. One is an absolute number, and two are percentages. Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Beis, based on Gemara and Bava Basra, that the absolute minimum, Bava Basra Daf Tes at the bottom, the absolute minimum is Shlishas HaShekel. Okay, absolute minimum, Shlishas HaShekel over the course of the year. Okay, that one hopes is not actually relevant. One hopes that one is capable of giving much more than that, although we'll return later today to one nekuda in that which may have relevance across the board. But again, one hopes that one is able to give way, way, way more than Shlishi Sakal Lashana. So then you have Sif Aleph that says, look, you have mitzvah min ha-muvchar, and you have mitzvah beinus and v'ayin ra. Mitzvah muvchar is up to chomesh. Gemara in Ksubis says takanas usha midraban der misakin. Don't overdo it. Don't give more than a chomesh. Amavazuv yaz yosem a chomesh. With the exception, the Gemara says of b'shas moso, and chachmas adam others say also asher muflug. The Gemara says the reason for the takana shema ye'ani v'itzdarech lebrias. I'm gonna. A Jew is going to overgive to tzedakah, he may overextend himself and jeopardize his own financial stability. Then in the long run, he ends up being on the other side of the tzedakah equation, becoming min ha-mekablim. Shem yon tzedakah lebrius. That's why b'shas moso, that's not an issue. One needs to take care of one's own children. Karv kodem. Assume one's children are not needy. And one is leaving some significant amount to one's children, so you are a kind of mitzvah rusha and not be ma'avar nachla, so then one is certainly allowed to give. In that situation, the Gemara says one's allowed to give more than a chomesh tzedakah b'shas mosa. And he said, Chachmosam says, asher muflag also, asher muflag, there's no concern of shem yom yitzarach l'bius. Okay, so that's sort of the top end. Ali vazviz yat yosem echomesh, and the midah beinonis is to give meiser. The midah beinonis is to give meiser. Where that comes from, that's the irony. Where that comes from, that's going to be our focus today. That's usually the central focus in terms of figuring out how much one's trying to give. Is meiser k'safim? It's the most famous. It's the most, usually the most practical. Chomesh is halvai. Shlishis HaShekel hopefully is way too little relative to my income to be relevant. But the irony is Shlishis HaShekel is a clear Gemara in Bava Basra, and Chomesh is a clear Gemara in Ksubas. My Sekhsafim, which is the one that's most relevant, is also the one that's most mysterious in terms of where it comes from and what its status is, it does not seem to be used explicitly in the Bavli. The Gra sends you both to Sefer Sivkat and Beis, both Sefer that the Tosis and Tainus quotes. So when the Gemara in Tainus talks about Seir B'Shiril Shlatis Asher, and that one's allowed to be Menasa Kadosh Baruch Hu in the context of Meiser, that was discussed earlier in Simur Reish Mem Zayin. The Tosis quotes the Sefrei. Tosis quotes the Sefrei. Sefrei darshins Aser Taser is not only Meiser Ani, but even Meiser Ksef. Sounds like it's a drasha. Then the Gra and the Likud in Sivkat and Beis goes on to quote Yerushalmi, which is quoted by the Mordechai. It founded in the Haggos Mordechai in Bava Basra, in the middle of a very long simin, I think it was Tuf Resh Nun Tes, I believe it was. Quotes Yerushalmi Darshan from a pasuk Divrei Kabbalah, Kabeis Hashem Mehoncha. Not in the Bavli. So what's the status of this? So I think I mentioned last time, I did a little more digging. I wanted to spend, let's talk for a couple moments just about this point we left hanging last time, the source for Meiser Ksafim, and then we'll get into the heart of today's Chabur, which is the details of implementation, of how you actually calculate Meiser Ksafim. Just in terms of this, I don't remember if I mentioned last time, I was talking to this over the Shechter, he often will point out, three of Achlokas, Meiser Ksafim, Dra Baran, or Minig. So I was talking to him recently, and he said, yeah, the Stechemed. Stechemed talks about. Stechemed is a at least 9-volume set of an encyclopedia of practical shilas. It was put together by a Svardi Talmud Chacham, of Chizkiya Medini, I think his name was, who was a Rav in various communities, I believe both in, if I remember correctly, he was Rav in both Ashkenazi and Svardi Kehilos, using Yerushalayim. It's all over the place. In contact with many different kehilos and many different poskim, and I think he writes in one place that he was not zocha to leave children behind. His children predeceased him, so he felt that publishing svarim was one way to sort of leave a legacy of some sort. There's a massive compendium of tshuvas and discussions in tshuvas about all sorts of halacha l'maisa topics. It's a little bit unwieldy because he goes, I'll say to Alf Beis, but you have to know, what entry to look at. And then some of the volumes are I'll say to Alf Beis, and other volumes are organized in other ways. It took a little searching, but if you're interested in seeing, I can even take a copy and send it around. It's in volume Dalid of the Stechemed. It's not under Mem for Meiser Ksafim, it's not under Ayin for Isor, it's not under Tzadi for Tzedaka, it's under Nun for Nisayon. So this is Chelek Dalid, page 348, which is entry Tes Zayin of letter Nun. The end of entry Tes Zayin, he talks about Nisayon, be Menasseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Tzedaka. So he points out that the question, Ramah, back in Reish Mem Zayin, had quoted this. Asr l'nasos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Reish Mem Zayin Sev Dalet Ki im bedavar zeh b'chanuni na b'zos. And it says, some say only for Meiser, not for other tzedakah. Only Meiser, that's what the Ramah claims. The Ramah says, you're allowed to be Menasseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he'll take care of you and give tzedakah, but a shayla, whether it's all tzedakah or only Meiser. Only Meiser. So the Pischei Tshuva here, Reish Mem Zayin Sivkat and Beis, points out, 1 second. The whole slew of Achronim are upset at the Ramah. So what do you mean? Be Menasseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meiser Ksafim. The Gemara says Meiser Ani. That's the real Meiser Daraisa. Okay, so then the Navi says, B'chanuni Nabazos. Who says Navi is talking about Meiser Ksafim? Pischei Tshuva quotes a series of Achronim. Yaakov Emden attacked the Ramah, the Shalah attacked the Ramah, the Mishloch Chacham attacked the Ramah. That's only the real Meiser. The Ramah, though, did think that it does apply even to Meiser Kisafim. If you look back, there are at least two Rishonim who are quoted as saying that. The Sefer Chasidim and Rabbeinu Yonah in his Sefer Hayira. Both, in a moment I'll tell you where I found those. The Sefer Chasidim and the Sefer Hayira Rabbeinu Yonah. Sefer Hayira Rabbeinu Yonah, if you've never heard of it, there's a long... Rabbeinu Yonah is famous for a number of Sfarim, including Shari Tshuva. It's famous, Musar Sefer. He talks about how a Jew ought to go about doing Tshuva from Chatan. Often, at the end of the volume, they publish a much smaller Sefer they wrote, Sefer Hayira. We may have quoted this in Hilchos Yichud at some point. He talks about how a Jew ought to lead his life. How Jews, they ought to look like that. The positive. So, and say he takes you through davening and tzedakah and kavanah shem shamayim, all sorts of things. So both Rabbeinu Yonah and Sefer Hayira and Sefer Chasidim from Chasidei Ashkenaz, so they both say that you are allowed to be menasa Kadosh Baruch Hu with Meiser Ksafim. So that's sources in Rishonim for Rabbeinu Yonah. That sounds like that's what the Stechemed points out. Stechemed here again, it's page 348 in Chelek Daled. So he points out that if you're trying to understand why are these Achronim and the Pesachei Tshuva so upset about, you know, the Ramah, the Menasa Kadosh Baruch Hu by Meiser Ksafin, what do you mean? The Tosfos said from the Sefrei that it's we darshan from the Pasuk. This is also Meiser Ksafin. So this is also Meiser Ani. So Sechemet says, well, those Achron would all say that drasha and Sefrei is not a drasha Gemur Deraisa. It's an Asmachta. Asmachta to Din Rabban and Asmachta to Minik. It's not a real Din Deraisa. If you plug in the Sechemet back into the Ramah, and Sefer Chasidim and Rabbeinu Yonah, that means they all seem to hold that Meiser Ksafim is really an extension, a Deraisa extension of Meiser Ani. A Deraisa extension of Meiser Ani. Wow, so there is that opinion. There is that opinion. It seems like the Ramah, the Sefer Chasidim, the Ramah Reish Mem Zayin, the opening of Simchat Chasdaka, based on the Sefer Chasidim and Rabbeinu Yonah and Sefer Yira, seem to hold it's Daraisa. Mentioned also last time the Ramah Shin Lamed Aleph, the very end of Shin Lamed Aleph, that long Simchat of Mitzvah Tulis Barat also appears to say, equate Tzedakah with Meiser Ani. And it's there that the Bach, the Tazkos, my father-in-law, the Bach, attacks that, and he says, what do you mean? Meiser Ksafim is not Meiser Ani. No connection. It's a minig. So you do have an opinion that it is Daraisa. More common is to assume that it is not Daraisa. And the Maharil, the Birkei Yosef, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Simtos, Drabanan, and then the Maharami Rutenberg, and the Bach and others, and I think the Rov HaPoskim, assume that it is a minig, a very ancient minig. I mean, it goes back to perhaps either Avram Avinu, Malki Tzedek, or Yaakov Avinu, when he leaves for Beis Lavan, but a minig. So just a footnote to that discussion about Mar Makomos, or Makoros rather, and the status of Meiser Ksafim, as well as the discussion we're about to get into in terms of the Cheshbon, of how you actually calculate Meiser Ksafim. So just a bibliographical note in terms of Svarim. One fantastic Sefer to have is certainly the Tzedakah U'Mishpat. He is Rabbi Yaakov Bloy, who was familiar to us as the author of Chovos Adar and Hilchos Mezuzah. He also wrote the Tzedakah U'Mishpat and Hilchos Tzedakah. He also wrote a massive multi-volume set on Dinei Choshen Mishpat LaHalacha, but Tzedakah U'Mishpat is a separate standalone sefer. Beautiful. And something fascinating, Meiser Ksafim in particular. I got my hands on this many, many years ago. I'm not even sure where I found this. I think I found this in a second-hand farm store. I don't know if it's ever been republished. Do you want to borrow it? B'simcha. It was published in 1980 by Feldheim. It is entitled Meiser Ksafim. The title is not very original. The style of the Sefer is fascinatingly creative and original. It is, as far as I know, the only Sefer Halacha, only Likud Sefer, the Halacha published by the AOJS. The AOJS, the Association of Orthodox Jewish Scientists. They do a lot of, they have for decades been doing a lot of work on Torah and science. Association largely of Talmidei Chacham or scientists, Cyril Dahm is part of this, Leo Levy, a lot of the very grounded Torah and science people have been a part of this for decades. This project, though, this Sefer, Ma'aseh K'safim, was rather than Talmidei Chacham and scientists working together, Talmidei Chacham and accountants and business people working together. Decades ago, they sat down, a number of Talmidei Poskim, together with from business people and from accountants, to work on the Shailos of Ma'aseh K'safim. And they sent tshuvas to Diane Weiss, they sent tshuvas to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I think they also sent tshuvas to Moshe Feinstein. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And they quote, it's written in English, but they quote Mar Makomos extensively. From Chazal, Rishonim, Achronim, some things that are on the page, sometimes they just took the paper trail from whatever Achron quote on the page backwards, and sometimes they get coin tshuvas that would be otherwise very hard to find. Very, very fascinating. So they lay out a lot of, that's how I found the Ben Yonah, that's how I found the Maram Rutenberg, they give you the Maram Makomos. They tell you where to look, and they give you chunks. Let's talk about, so that's helpful in terms of this question of where Ma'aseh K'safim comes from and what its status is, and that Sefer is invaluable in terms of thinking about the questions of how one goes about cheshbonin Ma'aseh K'safim. I'll take off my watch, so hopefully I will not make the mistake I made last time. If I do, please don't be over polite, and please flag me down if we're going over time. Yeah, so when we talk about how to actually implement Ma'aseh K'safim, the Rambam makes a point that's not for now. Rambam makes a point that we'll B'li Neder get to next week. The Rambam, Sif Aleph of Reish Mem Tes, talks about what sort of causes can you spend your Ma'aseh K'safim. Tzedakah versus other mitzvahs, that we'll get to next week. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from Rishonim, based on Yerushalmi, the beginning of the conversation about the Cheshbon. He's talking about Chomesh. Poskim assume the same is true for Ma'aseh K'safim as well. Chomesh, the end of Sif Aleph, Reish Mem Tes of Shulchan Aruch, Chomesh Zeh She'amru, Shana Rishona Mehakeren, Mikan Ve'elech Chomesh Sher Viach B'chol Shana. The first year it's a Chomesh of the principle of the capital, and then from that point on, it's a chomesh of what you brought in, of what you profited. And the Gra tells you, it's the Tosis and the other Ashkenazi Rishonim quote this from a Yerushalmi. The Shach says Sivkan Beis, even though Yerushalmi is talking about a chomesh, but the same is true for Meiser as well. So what does that mean? So let's begin to unpack that. What that means is someone gives me a gift of cash with which to start a business. Someone gives me seed money. And my wealthy uncle says, "Yeah, uncle, I know you want to start a business, you want to start a store, a startup, whatever it is. So here's my chelek." He gives me seed money. He gives me capital which to start. So when I get that capital, that's called income, miserable, taxable, so to speak. And then from that point on, I'm going to hopefully make money with money. I'm going to invest this. I'm going to buy and sell whatever it is I'm doing, whatever I'm building with that money. So whatever I profit year after year from this point on, the revach, the profit that comes in, requires miser as well. So in thinking about how you cheshbon Ma'aseh K'safim, there are two big questions, and we'll break it down. One is what's called income, and the second is what is deductible. What's called taxable income, so to speak. A lot of the as the AOJS people point out, a lot of the shilas in the cheshbon of Ma'aser Kesafim have exact parallels in terms of tax law. The answers may not always be the same. What's taxable versus what's ma'aserable? So they're two different. What halacha or what minig has to say about Ma'aser Kesafim may not be the same as what the United States or the UK or any given governmental authority will necessarily paskin, but the questions tend to be the same questions. So one question is what's considered income. So income is going to include salary. If you're working for someone else, income is going to include sales. If I own my own business, income can be rental income. If I have a house or some sort of property or a car, whatever it is, a fleet of cars that I rent out. The Pischei Tshuva here, there are two very, very lengthy Pischei Tshuvas, Sifkat and Aleph, Sifkat and Beis, and they raise a host, I put that in my comments during this week, a host of fascinating issues. Let's be Mitzayan and hopefully in a methodical way to some of the issues. And thinking about income, so one issue is, as the Shulchan Aruch and Shach seems to say, if you're making a profit, or if you receive capital, but not as the Pischei Tshuva quotes from Achronim, not if I get a gift of goods. If my uncle says, "Yankel, you know, I know you're moving to suburbs. You need a car. Here's a car. Have a car." So he gave me a good that I don't plan to flip. It's not an additional car that I bought that I'm as an investment vehicle. I'm going to buy and sell at profit. This is a car that I'm going to use. He gave me a gift of not of liquid cash, but of an asset that I plan to use. So that's not something that's miserable. I don't say take a tenth of the car, or let me figure out how he just gave me a gift. Obviously, he saved me a lot of money. I would have otherwise had to spend money on the car, and he gave me a car as a gift. It's a beautiful present. But I don't say, let me cheshbin how much the car is worth and give 10% out of my wallet of cash I don't have to meister. No, he gave me a gift of a good that I'm going to use. So good, enjoy that. That's not meisterable. Another issue in the world, somewhat similar issue in the world of determining income, is not only we're not looking at goods that I'm holding on to, but also appreciation of an asset. He gave me the car. Cars tend to depreciate, unlike hopefully most other assets. But yes, or a house. I bought a house because I need a place to live. I bought a primary residence, and Baruch Hashem, we're living in it. We're happy in it. It works. It suits our needs. It gives us enough space for the family. Baruch Hashem. It happens to be in the background that the real estate market is going up, and the house that I bought for at X is now worth X plus $150,000. So that's beautiful, but I don't have to give my sirksafim on that invisible rise. If I calculate my net worth, I would say, yeah, you know, that house that I bought, it's now worth $150,000 more than you bought it at. So my net worth in theory is $150,000 more than it was a year ago, but I don't have to give $15,000. My sirksafim doesn't call for me to give $15,000 as 10% of the $150,000 of appreciation. Because once again, it's a good that I'm using. I don't have, it's not like I have an extra $150,000 in the bank, in liquid cash. That's what the post can point out. If I liquidate it, if I have a good and I sell it, even if I bought an item, an asset as an investment vehicle, I didn't need the car, I have a car, I bought this car, I bought an antique car because I think it's going to appreciate in value over 5 years. Okay, but Kolzman, I'm holding it, there's no income, there's no liquid income that calls for my sukhsafim. When I sell it after 5 years, so now there's revach. So now that I liquidated the investment, turned into cash, so now I have profit that calls for my sukhsafim. Or, it's only when the investment is liquidated that, I'm sure the accounting majors love to say, a lot to say about this. I'm sure the accounting majors have a much more nuance in the way they would phrase that. That's the way the poskim look at it. That's what flows from this Yerushalmi, the Tosis and the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch here quote,
that we're looking at revach. Revach means either I received cash, I'm doing something with the cash, or had an investment, an asset that I now liquidated, and now I have that liquid profit. So now that liquid profit is now something that is miserable. Yeah.
I really understand why it has to be liquidated in order to give from. Like, if you're getting something, it means something you're gaining in value, so you would have to give from that. It's just like, I guess, like, mido is a staka. I mean, the yisoda did, and why we give staka. What makes sense to have to give from what we get?
Right, but not, well, I bought a house, right? So I'm living in the house, Baruch Hashem, with my family. And now the house is worth more. So in theory, quote unquote, I'm worth more. In theory, my net worth is greater. But I don't right now have. I'm not selling the house. I need the house for my family. So the fact that in theory the market value of the house is more now than a kamu shavalim ker bashuk, the Mishnah Erechin does say is official halachic way to be koveya the value of the heftza. So it's true. My house is worth more than it used to be. But my success is when I have revach, practical revach. This is theoretical revach, but I can't do anything with it unless I let go of my house. Because I'm not selling my house, the fact that in theory I'm worth more doesn't, there's nothing to, that's not, we would say, again, according to predominant view in Poskim, the minig of my suksafim is, the minig of my suksafim is only once you have liquid profit. And that may be already licked in the language of the Yerushalmi that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting. And again, if the model, in some sense, we'll get back to what degree, if the model of Maaser Ksafim in some sense is Maaser Ani, whether that Drasha and Sifrei is Daraisa or Drabana or Smachta Teron or Smachta Minig, even Maaser Ani, there are limitations to that equation, but even Maaser Ani, I take seed, I plant it, the fact that in early spring, I might be able to predict, looking at the weather and looking at whatever other data I use for projections, I project that this is going to be a bumper crop this year. That's great. But until you actually have the crop in hand, you're not giving Terumas to Maestros. As a matter of fact, if you learn Maestros, there's only Chi of Maestros after Onos al Maestros and after Gemar Malacha. The Iker Chi of Maestros is when it's not, forget about, not just that we projected it's going to grow well. Even what's fully grown in the field, you don't yet have the full chi of maaser until it's cut and processed. And now I have a silo full of processed grain in the barn, in the house. And now we can talk about a full chi of maaser. So if you think the parallel is probably this. It's very nice you gained value on the appreciation of your assets, but when it's actually, when it's grain in the silo, when it's cash in the bank, that's when you talk about Maaser Ksafim. Now, a big issue, we'll come back at the end to talk about one more angle right now in income, the Pesachei Tshuva talks about a few times, is double taxation. And after this, we'll get to deductions. Double taxation, not exactly double taxation. It talks about the notion of ma'os me'usaros. The money was already gemeisered. Someone gives you a gift and says, and by the way, I already took off meiser. Now they want to give you the full, whatever the dollar value on the check is, they wanted to take care of the full amount. So say, don't worry, I already took off the meiser, so you don't have to take off meiser. So is that legitimate? Is that legitimate? So the Pesachei Tshuva discussed that in more than one context. You have to make your way through the thicket, the beautiful thicket of this. Someone talked about Aaron Lichtenstein spoke about the Shita Mekubetzes on Ksubis as a veritable thicket. Grada in the AOJS Sefer, they quote there are is a portion of Mekubetzes in one of the Ksubis Sugiyos of Tzaka. They quote Rava Meili what he says about Maaser Ksafim, but Bechlal these Pesachei Tshuvos Aleph and Beis and the Reish Mem Tes are also a veritable thicket. Baruch Hashem, a lot of important things going on. So if you make your way through, you'll see more than once they talk about this question of ma'os me'usaros. Two contexts that it comes up in. One is parents giving to their newlywed children. have to remember that until recently that was often a formalized thing. Hopefully in a healthy situation, parents, to the extent that they're able to, will want to help set their kids up. Once upon a time, that with the Tanoim were signed not as a pro forma document a couple minutes before you get married, but months earlier you got engaged. You got engaged, the Tanoim were originally a contract between the two families that their children would wed by a certain date, and that each family would provide whatever the agreement was, not just towards the wedding, but towards the marriage. Help to cover the first apartment and the furniture and the this and that, whatever each child was able to do, whatever they were, they worked, they discussed it, figured out how they're going to help their kids together. So sometimes there would be this, a line about how we're going to give our kids ma'os ma'usaros, good ma'aser with money, so that way they don't have to, they get more cash. We already took care of the ma'aser. So that, and then I think the Pesach Tshuva quotes, so Shalah, how about Yerusha? The father earned money, gave ma'aser on the money they earned, and then he passes away and leaves that money, already give ma'aser, to his children. So the poskim say that generally that is not effective. Why? Because the way ma'aser k'safim works is every time a new person makes that money, he incurs a new chiyuv, whatever chiyuv means, d'oraisa d'rabbanan minhag, of ma'aser k'safim. In other words, it's not like ma'aser ani. The farmer grows 500 bushels of apples and he gives ma'aser. When he sells the apples to the supermarket, to the distributor, sells to you, no one else has to take ma'aser. Trumas of ma'aser ani is a chalos on the fruit, on the tevua, on the irakas. The ma'aser k'safim is revach. In other words, you know, I go to work and I make a salary, so I'm supposed to give ma'aser. And then I go to the store and I buy something, so I give some of my ma'aser to money, to the shopkeeper. Now he's going to give ma'aser, and then he's going to take the money to pay the electrician. Electrician's going to go and buy, you know, that same dollar keeps traveling around. But every time a new, yet another Jew gets his hand on that dollar, every time the next Jew is marviach that dollar, he has a new chiyuv of ma'aser k'safim. So ma'os musaros is a generally assumed to be a misnomer unless the previous person double ma'aser. In other words, if the previous person, they took ma'aser, they gave ma'aser when they made the money, and then in advance of giving you that gift, or the father, in advance of bequeathing the money, Birusha, said, and now I'm going to take ma'aser again in place of you having to take it, that, folks can say, that may be legitimate. Because, okay, so he did it on your behalf. I think maybe it's the Birka Yosef, which is a fascinating, I think it's the Birka Yosef, one of the notes that came on the side raises the question of turn that around. The other person gave the ma'aser in advance of giving the money, and I'm upset because he stole my opportunity for the mitzvah. Do I have a taina? He stole my opportunity for the mitzvah. Okay. So those are the issues in terms of determining income. In terms of determining income, what is income and what is not income? In terms of revach and as yet unliquidated goods that are being used, or as yet unliquidated appreciation of assets is not the sort of liquid income that's miserable, and the understanding of what Meister is and how we think about income in the context of Meister, unlike Meister Ani, more Lechumer than Meister Ani, is what drives this approach to the postgim that Maos Musaros is generally a Muslim. Now, the big question is deductions. What do I mean by deductions? So let's go back to basics. Right? The Mechaber had quoted that from Tosus and the Rosh and the other Ashkenazi Rishonim, this Rishalmi, that the first year is the Kishana Rishon is the Karen, Mikan the Eilech, a Chomesh, or Meiser of the Revach. What do you mean Revach? You mean the money that comes in? to make it very simple, a very, very simple example, so I operate a store. Whether I'm selling technology or I'm selling groceries, I'm selling hardware, either send some hardware, the hardware that's manufactured in China, or lumber and tools, whatever it is, I'm selling goods. Right? I run a store, I have inventory, I sell it at an appropriate profit. So I have to look at the revach of the year, I'm going to give meiser from the revach of the year. What's the revach of the year? My gross revenue, all the money that came into the cash register over the course of the year. The poskim generally assume absolutely not. It's not the gross revenue, it's a net profit. Meaning, let's say I'm buying groceries wholesale, I'm selling them retail. So I have a profit margin. So I sold you a bag of sugar for $3. But that's not $3 of pure profit. I had to pay $2.50 to buy that bag of sugar. And then I sell it to you for $3. So my revach is only 50 cents. My revenue is $3. My profit is, for starters, not more than 50 cents. Supposed to say, we're talking about revach. We're not talking about all the cash that comes, all the revenue that comes in. It's a minus. And then most posts go on to say, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes this. It's interesting. This is such a central issue. And yet the Pesachei Tshuva deals with this more briefly. In Pesivkan Aleph, he says as follows. He quotes the Chavos Yoyer. Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Chavos Yoyer. The Birkei Yosef on the side, in the margin, quotes. The Knesset HaGadol quotes this on the side. How about expenses? Going back to that sugar situation. So I bought the bag of sugar wholesale. Let's imagine I make up numbers for $2.50. I sell it to you for $3. So what's my profit? I said not more than 50 cents. It's not even 50 cents. There are other costs of making money other than, you know, the cost to buy my inventory wholesale. I have to pay rent for my store, and I have to keep the lights on in the store, and I have employees, and there's gas and tolls getting to work, and all the different expenses that I wouldn't pay if I wasn't running this business. So those are all part of the cost of making money, business expenses. Or let's say it's not a store. Let's say I'm a salaried worker. I work for a company. So I show up to work, whatever showing up to work means, whether it means physically coming to the office or showing up from my laptop, whatever it is, I show up to work. So I show up to work and I make a monthly salary. Yeah, but what are my costs of making money? So number one, if I do have to travel to a physical location, whether it's the office of my employer, whether it's a client, so there's gas and tolls, and there'll be all sorts of other expenses. I might have to, and this is based on the Gemara of Basra, I might have to buy a different wardrobe that if I wasn't working, I wouldn't have to wear a suit and tie. If I have to come to work, it may depend whether I'm client-facing or not. It can be all sorts of all the expenses of making money. Child care. This woman chooses to work for X number of hours a day, so she has young children at home, she has to figure out who's watching the kids, and that's going to cost money. But a couple may make a cheshbon that it's worth it, you know, thinking about what the cost of childcare is versus, you know, what she's marviach, aside from the psychic reward she may enjoy from doing the work. But that's a cost that is cutting into the profit she's making. She's making a salary minus travel expenses, minus childcare expenses. So the predominant view in Poskim is that business expenses are deductible. Now this question, I think we could break it down into four or five parts. The first question of business expenses is whether, is it true?
Do you deduct business expenses? Says the Pesach Teshuvah costs a half a siyar that you do. The Knesset Gdola says that you do. The Pesach Teshuvah quotes that Yaakov Emden, the Yaivitz, disagreed. Listen to this. He said, "What do you mean business expenses? Deduct business expenses. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom." He says, "What's Meiser Ksafim based on Meiser Ani? Do you deduct business expenses from Meiser Ani? Absolutely not. Right? I have no idea what the ratio is. We'll just make up numbers. I plant 3 bushels of wheat, and I harvest a couple months later 100 bushels of wheat. So, how much Meiser Truma, Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani, how much am I giving? Based on what amount? Do I say, well, I grew 100 bushels, but I had to invest 3 bushels to get the 100 bushels, so I only have to give Truma some Meisers on the 97 bushels? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's irrelevant. Not only do we not take into account whatever expenses you had in terms of planting, in terms of personnel and fertilizer, v'chulu, we don't even take into account, we don't even deduct the actual seed. Whatever your gross revenue is, what grew from the ground? Whatever it cost you, it cost you. How much grew from the ground? If 100 bushels of wheat sprouted from your field, you're giving truma semaisis at 100 bushels of wheat. You're not deducting anything. So Yaakov Emden says, hooray, hooray, the mucker of Meiser Ani is Meiser Ksafim. Again, we said before, maybe doesn't think it's Daraisa, but at least is taking that model seriously. It says it has to be modeled after Meiser Ani. So Yerzen Eibishitz thinks, Yaakov Emden. It's quite a slip. Yaakov Emden, the Shalos Yaivitz, he thinks that business expenses are not deducted. His opinion is roundly rejected. As a matter of fact, if you look in the Chavis Yar, a little hard to find the Chavis Yar, but AJS, my successor from Sefer, is kind enough to quote large chunks of the Chavis Yar. Chavis Yar was in conversation when Chavis Yar says that business expenses are deductible. So question number one, again, about business deducting expenses is, do you or don't you? Let's get this right. Rabbi Yaakov Emden said they are not deductible. However, the vast majority of posts can assume that it is. Like business expenses are deductible. The cost of making money is deducted. And question number two is why? So the Chavis Yar in his conversation that truly David Oppenheim, I happen to have when I hear the name of David Oppenheim, I always think of a sheet that I've always found fascinating. Those who are born in a Shana Muberes and Bar Mitzvah in a Shana Muberes, you're born in an Adar Rishon, is your Bar Mitzvah Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? So the Magen Avraham and Siman Nun Hei and Arachayim has discussion about that. I believe it's your David Oppenheim who says you're born in an Adar Rishon, your Bar Mitzvah is Adar Sheni, which at first sounds shocking. The more you think about it, the more you realize it's actually incredibly mustaber. Glad to talk about it some other time. Actually, I had a chance to spend time on that sugya a different time. But here of David Oppenheim is very, very significant in this sugya. He demolishes Rabbi Yaakov Emden's arguments piece by piece. Then when he says, it's not Meiser Ani. It's not. We don't assume that this is a din of Meiser Ani. Particularly if you think, even if it's a drabbanu with an asmachta, particularly if you think it's a minig, not Meiser Ani. And he says, number two, it's clearly not Meiser Ani. Meiser Ani is not Meiser Ksafim. He says, Meiser Ani only give 2 out of 7 years. That's not 10%. It's 10% 2/7 of the time. That's more like 2.8%. And then he says the Gemara in Adarim Daf Nun Tes, I believe, that seems to say, even by Trumas and Maestris, we needed a special drusha to tell us that by Zriya, you don't deduct expenses.
Okay, so even if you were to accept a real equation between Ma'isar Ani and Ma'isar Ksafim, Mehecha Teisi, that aspect necessarily carries over. And then he goes a step further. After he demonstrates that we should not accept Yaakov Emdin, and that rather we should assume that business expenses are deductible, he then goes on to give a fascinating way of thinking about it. He says, what's the lumdus? He says, and this has a nafkaminas for another point as well. He says, what's the lumdus? Lumdus is that we, midaraisa, midrabanan, minig, whatever it is, we think about meiser ani as the aniyim are 10% shutuf in your business. It's more natural if you're talking about a business that you own, less so if you earn a salary by working for someone else. But he says, in your personal company, the aniyim have a 10% stake. That you have 90% of the equity, the aniyim have 10% of the equity. So that explains why, if you have shutfim in a business, they all share equally in the profits and in the expenses. So proportionally, if I own 80% of the business, you own 20%. So I'm essentially I'm covering 80% of the costs, and I'm reaping 80% of the profits, and you're covering 20% of the costs and reaping 20% of the profits. So it's very natural that that business expenses, the cost of making money, should not be miserable, based on this way of thinking. That we see the aniyim as a 10%, should have a 10% equity stake in your business. And then not only does it, we address the question of whether you deduct business expenses, Ali Pashtus, yes. Why deduct business expenses? David Oppenheim's lumdus of the aniyim or shutuf. I think the Chafetz Chaim, if I remember correctly, Chafetz Chaim in the Avos Chesed, Shasefer, they wrote about doing gemilas chasadim begufo, as well as giving tzedakah, the halachos, and also chizuk, musar and chizuk. I think he talks about and develops, I think, from sources in Midrashim, if a person gives tzedakah on a regular basis, particularly meiser, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a shutuf. Yadav Abraham talks about the aniyim being shutuf in your business. The Chafetz Chaim talks about you're making HaKadosh Baruch Hu a shutuf in your business. He has a chelek in your business, and that's why he has the right to tell you, give my 10% share to the aniyim. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a shutuf in your business, you're in a good place. You're in a good place. A third issue is not just should we deduct business expenses and why. The third question is, what's called a business expense? This is certainly something that comes up lahavdil in secular taxation law as well as in Ma'aser Ksafim, is what's a reasonable business expense? I have a home office. That was always an issue, even before remote working became a thing over the last 3 years. I have a home office. My entire home is now, because I use one room in my house to work, you're not going to say that all the costs of my entire house are business expense. You have to figure out what's a reasonable business expense. See, here's they quote in the Ma'aser Ksafim Svarim, I think the AOJF Sefer, they point out a fascinating machlokas Aruch HaShulchan of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Let's an example of where it's, you have to figure out what's reasonable. So, the Pesachat Shurei talks about you're traveling to the Arid. That's one of the examples of business expenses. I'm traveling to the Arid. I own a store in my local shtetl. So once, twice, three times a year, however often it is, I'm going to go to the fair in Leipzig or wherever the big fair is. I'm going to buy goods on wholesale. And then I'm going to bring it back to my town and sell it off bit by bit of the next couple of months. So whatever it costs me to rent a wagon and the travel expenses getting to and from Leipzig, obviously those are legitimate business expenses. How about food? I have to eat while I'm traveling to and from, and I'm in Leipzig for a while. I need to eat while I'm on a business trip. Is food on a business trip a business expense or not? So Aruch HaShulchan says, sure. That's part of whatever you spend on food while you're on a business trip is not considered income. Then you deduct from income. Shlomo Zalman said, what do you mean? The travel is a legitimate expense because if I didn't have this business, I wouldn't be traveling. But if I didn't have this business, I would still be eating. have to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper, whether I'm going to Leipzig on business or not. So either you eat breakfast at home, or you eat breakfast in Leipzig, or you eat breakfast, you know, at some kretschmer, some inn on the way. So I think the dominant view in post-game is in between the Aruch HaShulchan and Shlomo Zalman, and I think, I don't know if post-game pointed this out, but I think it's really based on a Gemara and Bava Mishnah. So I know I'm wrong towards the end of Bava Basra. What you look at is that part of the food on the road is deductible. You look at the delta. Shlomo Zalman is right. I would eat at home also. But food on the road is often more expensive than food at home. Food at home I prepare on my own. Food home I buy in bulk. We all know when you're on the road, especially I'm going to have to buy ready-made food. I'm buying something packaged. I have to eat at a restaurant. I don't have a kitchen. I don't have the wherewithal to make my own food. And on the road often they charge more. And I'm not buying in bulk. So true, I can't deduct the entire cost of breakfast. But breakfast at home, if I would cheshbon, a breakfast at home would have cost $1.50. Right? Or if I was going to work for the day, I could brown bag breakfast. It's $1.50. It's a yogurt, it's a fruit, whatever, shine. But the same breakfast on the road might be $5. So maybe you can't deduct the whole $5, but you can deduct the $3.50 difference. And that's what I think it may even be a mission already. Towards the end of Bava Basra, they talk about Chalukas HaYerusha. Father passes away, leaves Yerusha to his sons. So that's one of the examples of a Shutvas. At a certain point, the sons decide, hopefully in a very peaceful way, they want to Chalukas HaShutvas. They, Baruch Hashem, they hopefully they all get along. But, you know, the father left us a farm in Bavel. One of the kids wants to make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. The father left the business. I'm not interested in that running that business. I'd rather cash out and do something else. So hopefully, b'shalom b'shalva, we say, we want to, you'll buy me out, or we'll sell it, we'll divide the proceeds, we'll figure out a way to do an equitable chalukas ha-yerusha. That's one of the classic examples of chalukas ha-shutfas. Those are remember Bava Basra. So one of the things that comes up is you can do a chalukas ha-shutfas. The estate may have been functioning as a shutfas for years. The father passed away 15 years ago, and we kept it together 15 years. And now, finally, you know, we decide we each want to go our own way and spend the money and invest the money in different ways. So after 15 years of it being essentially a joint family business, we're now going to do a chalukas hashutfas. So the din is, in Bava Basra, is that you have to deduct expenses first. And the Gemara makes a point that it may well be if there were younger brothers who were too young to be involved in the business, and then the older brothers who were talking managing things. So the older brothers may have had a lot of expenses that they could be reimbursed from the estate before you divide what remains. Because that's, and one of the examples is they bought nicer clothing. So they bought nice clothes. How are you talking about? Because you were in charge and the young brothers were too young to know you were taking advantage? Of course, says, no. I mean, sometimes that may be a problem, Rahman Tzlan, but it could be entirely legitimate. The older brothers were client-facing. They were dealing with the business. So they had to dress in a respectable way so that they could... You're not going to do sales if you're not presentable. If you're not, you know... So the difference between stam clothing versus clothing, what you need, a nicer level that you needed in order to handle the estate effectively, that delta can be legitimately reimbursed from the estate. So that's exactly what the post can say. That the difference between what you would have spent for yourself versus what the additional cost because of the business, so that's something that's a reasonable, again, working with the shutfas notion that the David Oppenheim has, I believe they, AJS have recorded for that, I think the Dine Weiss suggested that svar as well. So you think about, you look at what would should, if your shutfim needed to reimburse one another, what's considered to be reasonable. Let's end with two final but very important points. One more issue in terms of the
business expenses, in addition to, do you, are they deductible? Why are they deductible? And what's considered to be a reasonable amount to deduct is not only expenses, but losses. Losses. Let's say there was a left opening issue in Pesach Teshuvah Sifkan Aleph. A loss. Let's say I have two stores, and one gained, one profit and one loss. So can I be mitzarif them? Can the loss offset the profit? I think this is accounting 101. I'm sure the terminology that, because I never took accounting 101, I do not know. But can I put this in one big basket and say, I have five businesses, but sach hakol, I have profits here and losses there, and hopefully my profits were greater than my losses, but the losses should be able to offset some of the profit and should only give my store the difference. Is that legitimate or not? The open issue of Pesachei Tshuva, and what it raises in Lomdus is a question of Tziruf. Can I be Mitzarif for two different businesses? Tziruf gets me into a question of when. Just like by Achila, you Mitzarif multiple Achilas within the Shir Zaman of Kli Achilas Pras, I can Mitzarif Diburim in the Shir Zaman of Tochi de Dibur, suppose can raise Noid Bihud and others, quoted by Pesachei Tshuva, and say, well, let's talk about the period for Meiser Ksafim. And this brings us back. I told you that line, Chomesh Sheher Viach B'chol Shana, and Siv Beis, Shlisha Sheka L'Shana. The notion that there's a period for Tzedakah, and specifically that period is a year. So that's what the Poskim suggests. Even for Meiser Ksafim, you want to do it on a yearly Beit Sheva. Pinkus, so about keeping records, a very beautiful, we don't have time to talk about, a very, very beautiful story that appears here. Pesachei Tshuva Kos Noid Yehuda, about a Jew who kept the pinkus of income and Meiser Ksafim for a lifetime, and he passes away, and the kids get his pinkus. That's a holy book. That's a very, very holy book. Mamish, a lifetime pinkus of Meiser Ksafim. That's the interesting child. The kids cheshbon the father's pinkus, and they realize he had overpaid. Meiser Ksafim, quote unquote, owed him. So they want to know, can they be yoreish that credit? Is that credit against Meiser Ksafim be rushed? Interesting child. Not for now. Take a look at Pesachei Tshuva. But the overall notion of a pinkus, as opposed to say, if you're keeping records, if you're keeping an account of all the money coming in and all the expenses going out and all the losses going out and all the Meiser Ksafim being paid, so then typically it'll be on an annual basis, so perhaps it could be longer or shorter. Post and discuss which year should Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Tu B'Shvat, Tu B'Shvat. Most posts can assume whatever you want. You can have any fiscal year you want, which in America usually means that January 1st to December 31st is the most practical. That's how you're paid. That's how you cheshbon your taxes. But whatever it is, you have some coherent system for maintaining accounts, maintaining a pinkus, so then everything is mitzdarif. If you don't have a pinkus, you don't keep accounts, so then the post can say, as soon as you give the Meiser Ksafim, it's gone. So then any loss subsequent to giving the Meiser Ksafim is no longer mitzdarif. The Meiser Ksafim is, giving Meiser Ksafim is mafsik. But if you have a pinkus, you're keeping accounts over a year or some other period of time, so then everything over the course of that period is mitzdarif, all the profits, all the losses, everything. One last footnote, I know we're over time. This is very, very important to keep in the back pocket. It does not come up often. There is a shita that the Knesset HaGadol on this side quotes, Matis Yov Treves, I think he's a late Rishon, maybe an early Acheron. I think he's a late French Rishon, not 100% sure. He has, according to some Girsos, he held that even household expenses are deductible, not just business expenses. We spoke about business expenses. Are they deductible? Why are they deductible? What's considered reasonable deduction? How about a loss? How about a household? Stop. Food, clothing, shelter, tuition, basic expenses, not living extravagantly. I want to live extravagantly. That's definitely not Baal B'Cheshbon. But basics. I have to support my family. I have to just live in a reasonable fashion. He seems to think not just the cost of making money, but just the basic cost of living. That's obviously tremendously reduces the amount of Meiser Ksafim that most people will be paying. For many, many people, the vast majority of your income is going towards the cost of business expenses and household expenses. So that will obviously change it dramatically. Most poskim don't accept it. It's hard to understand why it should be true. Girsa question, if he even ever said it, what did he say? So the approach, I think generally our approach is, if a person cannot give normal Meiser Ksafim, so then at least he would try to give Rav Matzis Yom Mitrives Meiser Ksafim. If one can, again, we assume it's Api Parashat Minig, which is Sabli Neder the first time, but ideally we would not take off we would not take off household expenses, cost of living. We would take off business expenses, the cost of making money, which next week we'll talk about what would I spend this on. Tuition is not deductible, but for instance, is tuition something that I could put my miser towards? Where do I put my tzedakah, where do I put my miser? We'll take a look at that next week. Chevreshkach. Thank you so much.
Can I make